Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As Elon Musk's Doge Squad halts operations at USAID, they've also now gained access in the Education Department and the Treasury Department. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats are introducing legislation that would bar meddling in Treasury.
Have they even done a little research? Have they heard the other side? Or are they just in such rush to cut anything they can so that they can keep tax breaks and give deeper tax breaks to the wealthiest of Americans?
A group of FBI agents who assisted in January 6th criminal investigations filed suit today in an effort to block the Justice Department from assembling lists of agents for potential disciplinary actions or firings. The first flight carrying migrants to Guantanamo Bay will arrive today. They've been held in prisons that have held Al-Qaeda terrorists is where they're going to go. And all 67 bodies recovered from the Potomac River after the deadly midair collision have been recovered. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced his budget proposal will include $145 million to address PFAS contamination. According to a press release, the proposal would fund new grant programs and expand staffing and research. It would also exempt innocent landowners from being financially responsible for cleaning PFAS pollution. The majority of the funding will come from the $125 million allocated for PFAS cleanup in the previous budget, which the Republican-controlled legislature has not released. As state Republicans prepare a bill that would require local law enforcement officials to ask people in custody for proof of U.S. citizenship, Governor Tony Evers is preparing to veto it. On Monday, a spokesperson for Governor Evers referred to the legislation as not a serious proposal and said that the governor would not support it. Under the legislation, law enforcement agencies that do not comply could lose 15% of their state aid. The governor's spokesperson also said the state should not be threatening law enforcement with budget cuts. The West Central Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission has announced plans to establish a business revolving loan fund in the region. The organization has matched a $250,000 grant from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, making a total of $500,000 available through the fund. The Capital Catalyst Revolving Loan Fund will offer loans from $10,000 to $250,000 for local businesses in Barron, Chippewa, Clark, Dunn, Eau Claire, Polk, and St. Croix counties. A Rice Lake man with prior domestic abuse convictions will go to trial on new charges in Barron County. According to court documents, 34-year-old Nathaniel Moe was charged with two counts of possession of a firearm by a felon. Moe had previously entered guilty pleas to substantial battery charges in Dunn and Chippewa counties in 2023. He was arrested in Barron County in June after authorities allegedly found weapons during a traffic stop. The trial is scheduled to begin on March 31st, and Moe faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose in OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks lost their fourth game in a row, this time in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. The final 125-96. Giannis, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez all sitting out with some injuries. That meant more playing time for backups like veteran Pat Connaughton.
I think for us tonight, we didn't do a great job of taking care of the basketball on offense, right? We didn't do a great job of keeping out of the lane on defense. You know, when you look back at the game that we played them in Las Vegas, we did a good job of making some of those twos hard.
College hoops, Marquette falls in the rankings to number 11 after losing to UConn at home over the weekend. They're at St. John tonight. The Badgers now ranked 21st. They host Indiana tonight at the Kohl Center. NFL, at the Super Bowl opening night, Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco asked what's his favorite song they play at Arrowhead Stadium.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Yeah.
That's the Chiefs' Isaiah Pacheco. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels, and more clouds tonight, another cold low near 5 above. Snow developing for Wednesday, even some freezing rain mixed at times, accumulations less than an inch by Wednesday night. Highs in the upper 20s. It's 5 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, did you know politicians think about what they're going to make for their Super Bowl parties just like we do? Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Melissa Radcliffe. We talk Super Bowl and some politics. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK. Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening, being a part, paying attention. That's the most important thing. You can be a part at 855-752-4842. Got a big hour for you today. Coming up next, the eagerly awaited executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, will join us. And specifically, we're going to talk about an ethics complaint, as the General Sentinel points out, and Nick will articulate for us an ethics complaint against conservative Supreme Court judge. Supreme Court candidate, not justice. Don't say justice. Not yet. Oh, God, no. On Tuesday, arguing he violated the code of ethics for judicial candidates by directly soliciting campaign donations. I believe we have Nick on the line. Are we ready for him?
Hey, I'm ready to rock, Dom. You ready to roll, my man?
Hey, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. You can check him out. Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Thank you for coming in today, man. We do have the sound. We have some sound of Brad Schimmel. So if you will indulge us, we can let our audience know perhaps some of what the complaint refers to. If you would, please, Jess.
Sure.
I have to invest in knee pads. You know, I got to
knee pads.
Invest in knee pads to crawl around begging people. Please, please, please consider getting involved in supporting my race.
Wow. Please, please, please consider getting involved in supporting my race. Play the next one if you would, please, Jeff.
Sure, of course.
If I can't, as a judge, I can't ask people directly for money.
So what are the knee pads for?
I'm a little confused. Nick, what is your big beef with that?
Well, how much time do we have, Don?
We got as much time as you want, man.
Okay. And, you know, I just got to say for the viewers that are watching this at home, you don't get to appreciate this over the radio, but at home, this is the most dressed up I've ever been in Civic Media, which means something. Let me tell you something. I'm in a suit and tie, Bibles.
You're looking good, man.
You know, I always got to tighten up when I'm in front of the show and here with you guys. But yeah, let's get to it. I mean, look, Supreme Court races here in Wisconsin, I know that they have felt like they're on steroids. I mean, it feels like we have one every year because we pretty much do have one every year. And there's some big distinctions, though, as far as the way that Supreme Court candidates are treated versus your everyday politician, and that the judiciary is supposed to be impartial, fair, supposed to be nonpartisan. And you're hoping that whoever sits on that bench is going to be that objective referee that just sits there, applies the law, applies the Constitution, and makes a rendering and a ruling. But my beef lies with the fact that we have a candidate who is also a sitting judge, who also swore a lawyer's oath, just like I did and other lawyers in this state, going around and talking about how he has to grovel with voters by getting on all fours, being on his knees, and begging them for money. Like, at what point do we get to sit here and say that ain't right? Because there are very clear rules within the Supreme Court rules, the code of conduct for the judiciary, that explicitly say there cannot be even the appearance of impropriety, which means that you can't be showing something that looks like you can't be impartial. And it, what does that look like to folks when you're over here talking about, I'm going to be in Menards, I got to go up to people, I got to get on my knees, I got to beg for money. And then, you know, you try and then spin it and say, well, you know, I know the rules actually, and technically I'm not supposed to directly ask for money, but I'm going to do what I can to skirt the already broken campaign finance laws that we have on the books. Right. Like, that just smells so bad. And I think that there needs to be accountability held for people that clearly want to try and tap dance over the line and try and take advantage of our campaign finance laws. And like, look, like what he said in the one meeting, as far as, well, folks, you can max out to me, but then you can go to the party or the committee and then they'll send the money to me. He's just stating facts as far as how broken our system is and why we need reform. But these comments about going to people directly and begging them for money and all this stuff, that can't be the way that our judiciary is made up. And that's why the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign filed an ethics complaint in front of the Judicial Commission today. And my hope is that an investigation will get launched so that we can just see whether or not, you know, folks are playing by the rules. And at the end of the day, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever it is, if you are going to break rules that are clearly law or on the books here, that there should be accountability.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about this ethics complaint filed against Brad Schimmel. According to the reporting, Nick, a 9-member commission could choose to dismiss the complaint or authorize an investigation. After an investigation, the commission could dismiss the matter or seek sanctions, which range from reprimand to removal from office. Schimmel's response to the complaint, the campaign has said Schimmel has not made any direct solicitations to any donor. They go on to say this is a desperate attempt to distract from Susan Crawford attempting to sell donors to congressional seats for their support. Your response to the Schimmel campaign's response, Mr. Ramos?
Oy vey. again, like, good government groups beyond my organization exist, and we don't get to sit here and play patty cake with any party or any candidate. Or, like, the whole point is that you're looking at an organization that turns 30 this year that is dedicated to money and politics work, and you decided to, on several occasions, got caught with audio that talk about you in some very interesting lights that come in complete contradiction with what exactly it is to be a judicial candidate and also a sitting judge. Like, folks forget that he's still a judge in Waukesha County. And, like, making those knee pad comments, I mean, I've heard people's, like, their interpretation of what they think that means. Right. And I got to tell you, yeah, like, that is, like, if you're a judge, I got to tell you, you got to be able to answer that. Because, honestly, the visuals are enough to make anybody sit here and be like, wow, you know what, that's problematic. And that at the end of the day, guys, we have higher expectations for our justices because, one, they're 10-year seats. Two, because they're supposed to be fair and not showing us that, like, if you donate X amount of money that maybe I'll be able to make a case go your way or two. It's like, everyday people don't get to just play kingmaker like the way that, you know, you're talking about Menards and some other folks. It's like, guess what? Like, we are so long for a public campaign finance reform bill, and we need it so desperately here.
Yeah, we certainly do. Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You know, when I heard that, the first thing I thought of, literally, oh, is Menards a sponsor? Like, did Menards give him money? Because he didn't say he got those knee pads at Home Depot or at Ace or, you know, pick your local joint. And I think Menards is pretty much a conservative kind of donor guy.
Oh, absolutely.
To my understanding of the leanings of that owner of that company, which is certainly concerning. But you bring up this other point, stating the facts. And I thought, stating the facts is appropriate. And what the facts are in our broken campaign finance laws are, Nick, is that, yeah, you can cap out at like $20,000 to the wannabe Supreme Court justice, but then you can give unlimited donations to a county or a state party, and they can do what they want with it. Now, you're not supposed to technically direct them to where to spend that money, but, you know, whatever. When Brad Schimmel identifies that, he's highlighting the terrible circumstance that we have is essentially unlimited donations to judicial and other state and local candidates.
Doesn't it just kind of feel a little wonky if somebody's like, hey, guys, I know that I can't directly solicit money from you, so I'm not going to do that. But what you can do is, and this isn't legal advice, so don't nail me on this, but what you could do is take your $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million. Don't give it to me because you're going to be breaking law if you do that. Go to the party. Go to the campaign. Go to the committee. Don't worry. You're not going to worry about that money being lost somewhere over there because they know who to send it to. It's Big Daddy Brad. And it's like, no, man. Like, that's just like, I'll never forget sitting in, I was sitting in some meeting, and again, people just know the rules and they sit there and they're just like, guess what? Like, let's take advantage of them. Let's exploit them and not have any repercussions. And that just can't be the way we move forward. And that's why, like, my organization, especially after April, we're going to be working really hard with lawmakers across the aisle everywhere just to be able to get Republicans, Democrats, everybody in the room. We all know it's an issue. Do you want to be a glorified telemarketer every time you're up for election? Or do you want a real opportunity to actually get rid of some of this big money that's out of here? Like, these seats aren't that Luke. Well, being a Supreme Court justice is, you know, you make a good paycheck, but lawmakers, you can make $55,000. Like, do you really want to have to raise $750,000 every time you're up for election?
Well, like, Nick, but don't forget about the per diems, man. That's where you really make the money.
Oh, you're right. Hey, you know, you ought to go to what, the Dells, go ride right. some water slides, right. per diem, and it maybe kicks in.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Nick Ramos, Executive Director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, you're able to sit around. We have just a couple minutes left in the segment. You're good for another segment?
Hey, I dressed up a suit so I can be here all night.
I appreciate that. I think you make the point, and I do think this is something that can cross partisan lines. The money in politics is ruining us. It is literally ruining us. And I think if we're able to point it out, articulate it, show the damage, and make some effort, I got to think that we can reach across from Democratic sides and even conservative Republicans to make some effort to change that, Nick. To change that, we have to change it. And does that come down to, as in pie in the sky, in just the last 90 seconds we have here, Nick, in this segment, to publicly funded campaigns? I mean, is that the answer? What do you think?
Hey, I mean, we had it. We had it before 2015 here in this state, and it applied to Supreme Court races. We had a system. And my feeling is that we can go back and use the Supreme Court as a perfect example of a statewide election with nonpartisan candidates and be able to implement something that could then be extrapolated to governor's races, lawmakers.
We have to make the effort, and hopefully our friend Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, other organizations will help lead on that. Come back with us. More with Nick Ramos. I want to talk about Brad Schimmel, not just the begging for the donations and getting knee pads from Menards.
Knee pad Brad.
Schimmel the Shill. We got all sorts of names coming out. But he literally went out on last summer and talked about the abortion law being unconstitutional. I mean, that is literally prejudging a case, taking a side. Come back with us. Nick Ramos, 855-752-4842.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Sleep with him. Get in the water. I'm going harder. Everyone's talking addicted to gossip, but I can be bothered. The money's irrelevant. The fame isn't part of it. Because life is a test. There's no time to rest. I ain't even started yet.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, our friend Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, sticking around for another segment. Thank you so much for sticking around, Nick. Talking about Brad Schimmel and the ethics complaint that Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has filed against him. This is regarding his begging for the money and getting the knee pads from Menards, trademarked Menards. I just feel like he should be doing the jingle or something, because it just seems like he's a paid, but that's the problem. But I want to go on to another thing, and bear with me, Nick, if you will, just for a moment. A piece in the New York Times just from last week, talking about abortion rights here in the state of Wisconsin, from the body. The Times points out that as Attorney General, Schimmel helped map out a strategy to restrict abortion rights. And last summer, in the early stages of his campaign for the court, he told supporters he backed the 1849 law banning abortion, which became valid when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. The old law was put on hold in December 23 and is likely to come before the state high court later this year. You know, the same court that Schimmel wants to be on. Well, what does he say about it? Well, here's what he told a crowd in Adams County. They've got several issues in front of them. One is the 1849 ban on abortion, which, by the way, what is flawed about that law? Question mark. Right? Another stop in Chilton, Wisconsin. Judge Schimmel declared, quote, "There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that," quote unquote. Nick Ramos, it seems to me he's very specifically prejudging the case. Now, he declined to be interviewed again last week to the New York Times, but his spokesman said that Judge Schimmel would not prejudge any case and would enforce and respect the will of the voters. Nick Ramos, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, my opinion, prejudging, what's your thought on that?
You know, it's just comedy that, like, you know, between the money thing and, oh, I'm not directly soliciting, but, you know, I am having these conversations with folks. And then it's like, I feel a very strong, passionate way about the 1849 abortion law, but I'm not prejudging a case, so you can't nail me with that. It's like, folks, you're seeing in real time here in the state, but then also at the federal level, folks that are just testing the waters to see what they can get away with, right, what they can say, and nobody's going to check them on it. Like, the thing is that your job is to sit there and deliberate on cases going in objectively with, you know, Lady Justice and all that stuff, balancing the scales. Like, that's not just supposed to be some type of figurehead. And yet we have somebody who has been really specific about how they feel about a particular case. And I just remember that, like, in 2023, when Justice Now Protasiewicz, folks were saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, she shouldn't hear redistricting because she's calling the maps rigged. And they, like, why should she be able to sit on a case like that? And I just sit back and I say, well, hang on a second, all right? The difference is that we have the worst. We did, at least. We had the worst maps, legislatively drawn maps, and we were compared to places like the Democratic Republic of Congo. So if people are keeping score at home, the Democratic Republic of Congo is not all that democratic. And so being able to say something that is factual is one thing.
Right.
Talking about how you personally feel about something and then like sharing with the world, New York Times is kind of big time stuff, wouldn't you say, Dom?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's interesting that you can go out here and just talk about these things and then say, like, oh, yeah, I feel a strong kind of way. And then we know from past, man was attorney general of this state. He had some really strong opinions about the Affordable Care Act, health care. You talk about abortion rights. There's a lot of things here that you're telegraphing to the world. And it's like, how can we not address you if you're going to go out here and put yourself out there like that? And so, folks, every judge is going to have opinions. No question. We're human beings. They're not robots. All right. So on one end, it's like, hey, at the end of the day, you understand that that person can't just be some kind of sentient, objective, emotionless, stoic being. But when they put those robes on, you expect that they're going to end up being objective and that they're not going to go take their opinion and their bias and then infuse it into something. And so my hope is that, again, you can talk about issues, but then the minute you start talking about cases and stuff like that, I mean, recusal's got to be put on the table. And if he wins this race, then like there needs to be some real conversations about these types of cases that he's been very outspoken about.
This verdict brought to you by Save Big Money at Menards.
Hey.
Folks, you're listening to the Tom Salvia Show. That is Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, we just got a few more minutes in the segment. On the national level, we talk about money in politics and certainly efficiency and wanting good governance. Well, this current administration has their own effort afoot, including the likes of Elon Musk and some folks that are trying to, guess if you believe the headlines, make things more efficient, but I have my own opinions. Nick, what do you think about how the current administration is trying to make government more efficient?
Well, I think it's rather fascinating that you decide that the most wealthy get to decide what exactly makes the most sense for cutting, you know, things that people rely on here across the country. Like, on one end, I get the logic as far as, well, if these people are so rich and so wealthy, they must be doing something right. Problem is that last time I checked, Elon Musk, he's not an elected. He's not somebody that I think has the gusto or supposed to be, overseeing big time private federal payments to folks and organizations and things. And then you're asking these people to just go hack and slash as much as they can, but not even thinking about the real world impact that happens. And so my thing is that anybody watched the inauguration, you watch the biggest social media and the biggest technology people all in the room, and they're all close to where the inauguration's happening. And now these folks that are supposed to be big corporations, conglomerates, now they're supposed to be overseeing our lives. And people should be very aware that, like, we should not be allowing pay-to-play type politics anywhere. And it just feels like, folks, if you got enough money and you can send it, you can go be close to the president and be able to make things happen. And that should not be the way our democracy works.
They're creating efficiencies. Nick, the billionaires are just getting rid of the middlemen and doing it themselves. Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, thank you so much. Please keep us updated as to your ethics complaint against Judge Brad Schimel. We certainly appreciate your time, folks. You want to find out more about Nick and the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, check them out online at wisdc.org. Nick, thank you so much. We'll talk real soon.
Sounds good.
Folks, come back with us more. 855-752-4842. Can you say Proud Boys anymore, or do you got to have a different name? Come back with us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to apply to their seasonal staff positions at state parks, forests, trails, and recreation areas. According to a press release, the seasonal work typically begins in the spring and runs through the fall. The Department of Natural Resources is looking for seasonal workers across the state for positions like park rangers, natural resources educators, and groundskeepers. Interested residents can find more information on the seasonal postings and submit their applications online. The deadline to apply for wild turkey, pheasant, and waterfowl stamp funding is coming up. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the stamp funds are available to organizations like conservation nonprofits, academic institutions, and government agencies focused on habitat management for the birds. The grant funding for the chosen applicants will be awarded in 2026 and 2027, and officials expect over $1 million to be available. Applications for the funding must be submitted by February 14th. Superior residents near the BNSF railway facility will get larger payments from the company for cleaning taconite dust from homes themselves. According to city officials, residents who choose to clean the dust themselves will have payments increased to $400 for homes under 2,200 square feet and $500 for homes larger than 2,200 square feet. The previous reimbursement rate was $300 for both. To get the payment, homeowners will need to submit before and after pictures with their claim. City of Superior officials say they're planning some major infrastructure work for 2025. According to Mayor Jim Payne, one of the biggest projects the city will undertake this year is replacing more lead service lines. He says private utility companies have previously refused to pursue the project without public money. The city will develop a new fund to replace those lead service lines, including ones on private land at little to no cost. Mayor Payne says expanding the city's broadband network infrastructure will also be a major goal this year. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Grammys are in the books, and the big news of the night was that Beyoncé, no last name, won Album of the Year for her country-themed album, Cowboy Carter. Beyoncé drew 11 nominations, which gave her 99 all-time, and also made her the most nominated Grammy artist ever. Mrs. No Last Name also won Best Country Music Album of the Year. Kendrick Lamar won Song and Record of the Year for Not Like Us. Chappell Roan won Best New Artist. Brandi Carpenter won Best Pop Vocal of the Year for Short and Sweet. Best Rap Album went to Doechii for Alligator Bites Never Heal. Other big talking points from the 67th Grammys, a moving tribute to LA firefighters who presented the last award of the night. And Taylor Swift did not win one single award. You have to wonder if Travis Kelce will still dig her in the big way. She'll be back. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels, and more clouds tonight, another cold low near 5 above. Snow developing for Wednesday. Even some freezing rain mixed at times. Accumulations less than an inch by Wednesday night. Highs in the upper 20s. Currently, it's 6.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Trump's executive orders and tariffs. What is that doing to Wisconsin farmers? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our most recent guest, Nick Ramos, Executive Director over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, filing an ethics complaint against Judge Brad Schimmel for his comments about begging for money and going to Menards for his knee pads. And then it says, oh, I never asked for money, never begged for money, never said it, never did any of that.
Uh-huh.
Like I was saying, Menards, I think going to do it for now. Menards!
Is he a sponsor? You noticed that he wasn't going to, his local small business.
No.
Gotta go to the mega donor.
The donor for reals. So thank you, Nick. We'll stay in touch with Nick. He's a good cat. That's the organization that our pal Matt Rothschild used to work at. So we got a lot of love for them. Keeping track of the money in politics and hopefully ultimately helping us get money out of politics. That would be a good thing.
It would be a really, really, really good thing.
I mean, I know that like the rich be mad they couldn't, influence maybe to the degree that they're used to.
But they'll still have plenty of influence.
I mean, but that would, and especially if we go to like some sort of a program where it's publicly funded campaigns, some folks who get involved. As Nick pointed out, and it's something I didn't really realize until I got a little closer to it, the amount of time that elected officials are dialing the phone, dialing for dollars.
I mean, right. And that's time that they're not spending on governance.
On constituent services. You know
right.
I mean?
There's only so many hours in a day. And if you have to spend 25%, 30%,
well, especially when 50%
you get going, of your time.
Right, especially when you're one of the young kids, you got to get in there, get in that bullpen, start dialing for dollars.
There's some disgusting figure, like from the moment that you're elected, the amount of money that you have to raise every single month for your re-election campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in the tens of thousands for like a congressional seat. And that is time that they are not spending governing.
Yeah, for real. I mean, come on. The Wisconsin legislature gaveled out like in February of last year.
Right.
I mean, come on.
It's just because they're so efficient, Don.
Yes. So efficient. 855-752-4842. Folks, you know how we do at the end of the show, on the last segment. Tell us something good. Mm-hmm. Want to hear something good? Let's get to some of the texters out there. Let's see here. Tosker from Madison, there definitely need to be more attack ads out there about Schimmel, because honestly, right now, all the ads I'm seeing make him look like a middle-of-the-road guy. And I don't know any better. I believe that, honestly, we got to do better at putting out the dirt, like you said. I mean, there's got to be some dirt. Thank you, Dom and Maggie, says Jim from Brookfield. Yes, a lot of criticism of Judge Schimmel these days. Mm. You're lamenting about the Dominic Show. Someone from the 608 says, what about just the Dominic Show? This is a Dom Salvia Show.
Uh-huh.
It would
help our marketing.
The Dominic Show? Just the Dominic Show? See, there's that. Just the Dominic Show. Thank you from the 608. We will consider all takers. Kenneth from Stoughton. As a former employee of the state of Wisconsin, I believe Elon Musk is the ultimate unelected bureaucrat that Republicans constantly rant about. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. Isn't that ironic, right? Oh, rich people, the Zuckerbucks. Remember the Zuckerbucks? Oh, the Zuckerbucks.
I do. But now they don't have a problem with them.
No, it's all good because he's on their side now.
Yeah. And, that's how it works.
Yeah, Zucker and Snoop Dogg. Come on.
Oh, Snoop Dogg. That one hit hard.
Uncle Tony wonders how much of the information they take is going to end up on the dark web. Well, Uncle Tony, I'd have to I'd guess all of it. I mean, why not all of it? It's all of it. Patrick from the 608, the bigger issue is Schimmel's comments on bloody uprising will be needed. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. And that is, I mean, there's lots of problems with this guy. Lots of them. And the mentality, when you talk about a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, and I guess everyone has their own expectations. Mine are a little higher, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I'm cynical, a little older, but I'd like to think that, judges, but of course, look at former Justice Michael Gableman. So I'm not surprised. Now, would Schimmel be in that vein? Maybe. I mean, Gableman did endorse Brad Schimmel for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and Gableman was terrible, even as Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a Republican in Wisconsin, who hired him to all the,
right.
a disgrace on the way out or a joke. He was very derogatory towards the
former justice. He didn't have any
justice.
Words of ownership about being the person who hired him.
Hired him to placate the BS from Donald Trump about the election being stolen in Wisconsin. But once again, I digress. The mentality of a guy like Schimmel, who would just so cavalierly, casually talk about a bloody revolution from the socialists.
Right.
Is certainly problematic, Patrick, from the 608. And we've been talking about it. We played it. It is one of my biggest problems. Again, the abortion thing, obviously an issue as well. Out there prejudging the case. I mean, he made very specific statements of opinion about the constitutionality of that law. So there's so many things to have take issue with regards to Judge Brad Schimmel. Pick your poison. I'm a man, so the abortion thing, although I have a lovely daughter and wife and all that, that's not affected by it. Me personally, the revolution thing, the folks that just would think that, if they don't get their way, much like the J6ers, if they don't get their way, then they're just going to rise up and break everything and start, beating people in the streets. Well, we saw what happened at J6, and we saw the consequence or lack thereof of that, right? Donald Trump let these violent criminals out into the street, gave them pardons. So, I mean, that mentality is there. And when a guy like Schimmel speaks in that language, in those terms, I mean, he's striking a tone with them. He's showing them, I am
absolutely
on your side.
He's showing solidarity with a group that has said, if democracy doesn't get us the results that we want immediately, to hell with it.
I mean, if that would be the case, I'd been on a revolution a long time ago, man. I mean, everything that I want that I never get, I mean, me, I could do an entire show of all of, I could do a month's worth of shows of things that I want that I don't get. 855-752-4842. Lots of phone calls if you have anything to say. But here's a little solace, and thank you, Patrick from the 608, on bringing that up. A little solace for us all, though, from the New York Times. Yes, this is good. The Proud Boys no longer have control over their own name.
I love it.
Oh, no.
I love it.
So if they can't use their own name, do we come up with a new name for the Proud Boys? I heard one earlier. What the
Pride Boys.
Yes. The Pride Boys.
You think they'll take it?
It might be already be taken.
Might be.
And it might be like rainbow logos and stuff.
Indeed.
I'm just saying. I don't know if they'd want that one. Or the Bad Boys.
I don't think they can have that one either.
That was a movie series.
I know.
From before you were born.
Yep.
I mean, the original was before you were born, I'm sure. Bad Boys 2, Bad Boys Forever, Bad Boy, the third and fourth ones, I think you were probably born. From the New York Times, the Proud Boys no longer have control over their own name. Hey, if you got a name for the Proud Boys, that's FCC compliant.
That's FCC compliant.
We would be happy to share it. Under a ruling by a Washington judge on Monday, the infamous far-right group was stripped of control over the trademark Proud Boys and was barred from selling any merchandise with either its name or its symbols without the consent of a black church in Washington that its members vandalized.
Yeah. Sometimes we do get justice, and sometimes it really is so sweet.
Oh, God, sometimes. Texter's here. What do we got? The Soy Boys, says Uncle Tony. All right. White Dynamite, says Cam.
Oh, Cam sent in another one that...
The Cool Kids Club, KKK.
All K's.
There you go. I see what you're doing there, Cam. The reporting continues on that in June of 2023, the church won a $2.8 million default judgment against the Proud Boys after the organization's former leader, Enrico Tarrio, and several of its subordinates attacked it in a night of violence after a pro-Trump rally in December of 2020. Now, the ruling by the judge effectively means that that Proud Boys chapters across the country can no longer legally use their own name or the group's traditional symbols without the permission of the church that was attacked, the Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church. The ruling also clears the way for the church to try to seize any money that the Proud Boys might make by selling merchandise like hats or T-shirts emblazoned with their name or any of their familiar logos, including a black and yellow laurel wreath. In a lengthy statement, Mr. Tarrio said the church should have its nonprofit status revoked and the judge should be impeached.
On what grounds?
Their actions are a betrayal of justice, says the guy who just got pardoned by Trump.
Right.
I hold in contempt any motions, judgment, and orders issued against me.
Well, it's a good thing that only the court can say if someone's in contempt.
Well, you can be contemptible.
He is.
He is. Now, this is the guy, right? Listen to this. The initial judgment against the Proud Boys determined that Tarrio and other members of the group climbed over a fence surrounding the church, which is just blocks from the White House, and burned a Black Lives Matter banner. It was flying. The episode took place after a violent clash between supporters and critics of President Trump. I remember, like, literally when that happened. I remember the news, remember the story about it. Now, the church called the Proud Boys' actions acts of terror in its lawsuit and said they'd been meant to intimidate the church and silence its support for racial justice. The judge agreed, calling the Proud Boys' conduct hateful and overtly racist.
Yeah.
When the Proud Boys failed to turn over any money, can we call them broke ass boys?
The broke boys.
The broke boys? I think we got one. The broke boys.
The broke boys.
When the broke boys failed to turn over any money, lawyers for the church sought to satisfy the judgment by seizing control of the trademark name and by enjoining the group from selling, transferring, disposing, or licensing any merchandise using the words Proud Boys or any of the organization's symbols. The ruling was handed down as the Proud Boys were riding high after Trump, in one of his first official acts, pardoned Tarrio and several of his lieutenants. Oh, yes, we do recall that. Now, Tarrio, this is a guy, Tarrio, right?
This
jumped over the
guy.
Fence, burned the church's Black Lives Matter flag because, you know, they don't like that. Tarrio was serving a 22 prison term on charges of seditious conspiracy, received a full and unconditional pardon from Mr. Trump. His four co-defendants had their own prison terms commuted to time served. So Tarrio got a full and unconditional pardon for the seditious conspiracy, the guy that jumped over. And was this the same church, I believe it was, that Donald Trump blew through the protesters with his entourage and held the Bible up upside down for the photo op? Same church. I'm calling it. The banner burning episode had dramatic effect on the events, yada, 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 yada. You get the gist. You get the gist.
Yeah, it really is such a shame that we have these violent offenders loose in the country. I mean, these people have records, Dominic.
Yes, he's got records. Acts of terror, as the church said. But don't worry. According to Tarrio, who was doing 22 years for a seditious conspiracy, which is an effort to overthrow the government. Sure would like to hear, you know, got some information on his communications, if any, with Donald Trump or Roger Stone or anyone from the World War Hotel. But, you know, I digress. Tarrio says that the church's actions are a betrayal of justice. And, you know what I mean? They should have their nonprofit status revoked because I burned down their Black Lives Matter flag.
And I'm mad that,
I'm mad about it.
That they're mad about it and they followed legal courses of action.
So next time you use the term Proud Boys, you're going to have to pay the church, the Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Good for them.
Call them the broke boys.
Broke boys.
Broke boys, broke boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Broke boys, broke. You know what I'm doing. Sorry. I was told never to sing on the radio or ever. Sorry, honey. I promise I won't do that again. Folks, come back with us. It's time. Tell us something good. You got anything good? We want to hear it. We want to wrap up the day on a positive, happy-go-lucky note. And maybe a couple other headlines we'll throw out there as well. Have a smile. Take a time. 855-752-4842-855-75 coming back something good.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, We would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's been a hell of a day, hell of a week. Really, two weeks and 2 days into this administration. What's the term for it feels like it's going really fast and really slow at the same time? 855-75-CIVIC. Tell us something good. We got Matt from Middleton. He's got something good. He said it is good that our brothers and sisters in Canada and Mexico are boycotting products and aiming tariffs at the red states first and making Trump look ridiculous. Matt from Middleton. Yes, we have a 30-day hiatus on our tariffs thanks to the crack negotiation skills of the old guy in chief, who maybe could have gotten the same thing you wanted, you know, just by asking nicely. Maybe not. Well, I mean, but there were, you know, Biden had 10,000 troops sent to the border without causing a bunch of headlines and making the market go up and down. Or was that the point? 855-752-4842. Tell us something good. You want to start today?
Sure.
You got
anything
good? Tell me something good,
so
sister.
It's not going to start off sounding good, but we're going to get there. So I found out today that my cat is diabetic.
Aww.
But the good thing here is that we live in a time and a place where veterinary care is accessible and where I was able to get instructions for her. And I was able to practice giving her a little insulin shot, and I have her medicine now, and we're able to take care of her, and that is something good.
That is good.
Yeah.
And how old's your kitty cat?
She's six. Her name is Nina.
Now, was this type one or type two? Like, is this lifestyle or genetic? I mean,
so for cats, it's a little different than it is for humans.
Okay. I don't know. That's good to know. Tell me.
So for cats, typically they are non-insulin dependent with diabetes, which means that there is actually a chance for remission. There's a chance that with giving her insulin now, we'll be able to sort of get her body to reset a little bit, get her pancreas actually producing that insulin on her own. But we got to start here.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially have some diet changes. We've already had some little lifestyle changes. She was a little chunky.
Yeah.
And so we brought her weight down a little bit over the past year. So we've already been on the right track.
Aw.
So we'll get there with her.
Aw.
She's my sweet marshmallow lady.
No, damn cats and dogs. Stupid animals break our hearts.
I know. And
how often do you have to give the shot?
So it's me twice a day.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Twice. Gotta shoot our cat twice a day.
And where do you inject the
So it's subcutaneous, which means right under the skin. You don't have to get it into a vein or into a muscle. You just grab a little bit of the scruff and just...
Yeah, not bad at all then.
Nah.
And the kitty barely notices it.
Well, I mean, she wasn't too happy about it, but she was also in an unfamiliar place and she'd already been poked a couple times. Yeah. But I was able to do it with a practice saline shot and she took it just great.
She'll be a trooper.
Oh, yeah.
Good mama. Well, yeah. Thank you for them. Hope the kitty cats can be... All right. Those cats can live to be a long time.
Oh, yeah.
They can be old cats. Old cat. I got an old cat.
Yeah.
She yells all the time. Yeah. She likes to eat, too. 855-752-4842. Tell us something good. We want to hear something good from our audience. Wrap the day, because if you don't, I got something bad. I mean, it's not like bad. It's bad, but not like it's...
Where you're going.
It's the administration. It's bad. We'll keep on talking, but we don't want to do that. So let's get to John from Columbia County. Welcome, John. Happy days. Tell us something good, man.
Hey, I want you to start this segment out with Rufus. Tell me something good, baby.
We have to check the library, man. I don't know if it's heavy enough for us, John. You know, we kind of bang the heads over here. But we could come up. I like the idea, man.
At least once in a while, I'll put it on. But there's so many other good songs.
I think it works for the segment. I really do. And I mean... Hell, I have a degree in radio and television. You know, I haven't worked it in years, but I think it is an ideal song to start your segment.
All right, John. Well, we'll check it out. We'll pull it for tomorrow. We'll take a listen to it, and we'll give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down, John.
Indeed.
Yeah, well, and another thing good, I made it home from work safely.
Hey.
All right, man. Well, is there any reason to think you wouldn't? I mean, I kind of have that expectation these days, John. Why is that a good thing?
Because I've hit 8 deer in the last 5 years.
Oh, 8?
Wow,
so
man.
Get home safely.
Yeah, all right. That is a good day. That is a good day. Didn't have to use the AK scraping the deer off the front of your car, man. My buddy hit a deer.
You ever had to do that?
Hit a deer the other day. I had a deer run into me on like the highway one time. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not mangled a deer. It kind of hit me on the side and bounced off
Glancing
and ran away.
Blow.
Yeah. So everyone was fine. But no, I haven't like mangled, like, you know, shattered a deer. Mm-hmm. No, it's not been. It's amazing how many deer strikes there are. I mean, it is.
Right.
It's crazy.
There's a reason why Charlie Behrens is always telling us, look out for deer.
Look out for deer. Carrie from Tulsa says, thanks to Doge, I finally activated the freeze on my credit. That's a great thing. Thank you, Carrie. My quick good thing is T-shirt Tuesday, man.
T-shirt Tuesday.
I am wearing my Greta Van Fleet t-shirt, and I had to look it up because I love the band. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, rocky bands these days, and there's some younger kids out of Michigan, and I got to go see them at the rave at the underground, the lower stage of the rave, with a college buddy of mine. He's like, man, you gotta check this band out, you're gonna love them. Like 2017, I can still wear a t-shirt from 2017. So
you have a t-shirt that's 40 years old.
And I can still wear that one too. So I am happy you got my Greta Van Fleet on. You played me some music today, Jess. So that is a good thing. I want to thank our guests today. Maggie Dawn, a little overtime with Maggie Dawn. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nick Ramos, Executive Director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Stick around. Pete Schwab and Nutley coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media and WGBW rockstar Nikki Zerjab and treasure hunter Bill Blackwell. With a name like Blackwell, you have to be a treasure hunter. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. but that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreidlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today, President Trump making the case for the relocation of Palestinians displaced by Israel's war with Hamas.
There's no other alternative. If they had an alternative, they'd much rather not go back to Gaza and live in a beautiful alternative that's safe.
Trump's statement was quickly condemned by Hamas as, quote, belonging to the Middle Ages. Two groups representing FBI agents have filed lawsuits after the FBI gave the Justice Department the identities of thousands of agents who worked on January 6 cases. Two of President Trump's most controversial cabinet picks, clearing major hurdles, Tulsi Gabbard and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., their nominations now go to the Senate floor. A sad milestone at the scene of the horrific mid-air collision near Washington's Reagan Airport. The bodies of all 67 victims have now been recovered, 64 of them from the plane, 3 from the Army Black Hawk helicopter. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.